Well, let's go ahead and pray. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for the food. Thank you for Meredith's willingness to cook and bless us. We appreciate that, and I ask you to bless her back a hundredfold.
Thank you so much.
All is good.
Yeah.
They need anything. And Father, we also thank you for this hotel, service that they give us, and the love that they provide to us. Now, Father, in Jesus' name, we're going to open your word. And we have already been talking about how wonderful it is to have your revelation of your word and of yourself. Thank you for that. And reveal yourself even more and more to us tonight as we're studying and seeking you. In Jesus' name, we thank you. Amen.
Thank you.
Yeah. Well, tonight, our subject is faith versus fear. I'm sure you've heard many sermons about this, and we'll probably hear many more, but I believe in the Lord will give us more revelation tonight than we've even had before.
Amen.
So I'd like to start with 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. 2 Corinthians 5, 7. And as I was preparing everything, I thought, they all bring their Bible. I don't have to type out all these words. And then all of you have your phones.
Sorry.
It's okay. When you get to this, you'll say, I've heard that before, John. If you get 2 Corinthians 5, 7, would you read it to us, please?
For we walk by faith, not by sight.
Amen. So I want to look at this. This says, for we. Now, without reading the whole chapter and the whole book, from your own knowledge, could you tell me who the we refers to?
Us and God.
Who's us?
The believers.
Believers, yes. So this is talking about people that believe in Jesus. Not only believe in Jesus, but believe that Jesus is Lord. Okay, back to 2 Corinthians 5, 7. John just read, for we walk by faith, not by sight. And we decided that we means believers, those who believe in Jesus Christ, those that believe that Jesus is the Christ and is their Lord. So that's who the we is. It's not talking about everybody in the world, and it really is not talking about everybody in the church, because there are a lot of people in the church that don't believe that Jesus is Lord. But those that do walk by faith. Now, Elizabeth, I'm going to call on your Spanish expertise. If you were going to translate this verse, perhaps someone here didn't speak English, but they did speak Spanish, and you were going to translate this verse for them to understand, and it comes to, for we walk, would you use the Spanish word for walk, or would you use some Spanish words meaning we live?
You could use either or.
What would be your first inclination?
Camina, to walk.
To walk.
Yeah.
So you would just translate it word for word, walk. And then I was thinking about, what does walk mean? If you go to someone that's not, doesn't speak Christianese, so to speak, and they say, what do you mean walk? I don't use my feet, or do I hop? Do I skip? What do you mean walk by faith? Well, it really just means live our lives. We live our lives. And it has another connotation of moving forward. We live our lives moving forward. We are moving forward. And we move forward because we live by faith. Amen? So, we live by faith, not by sight. Well, let's go to our next scripture, which is, I just wanted to make sure that we're all in agreement to begin with, that the enemy is fear. It's an enemy to our faith. Well, what is faith? Well, faith is believing that God will do what he said he's going to do. It's trust, belief, faith. And so when we live by faith, it means we live believing God's going to do what he said he's going to do. Amen? And many times we don't know what God's going to do. We don't know what God said he's going to do because we haven't spent time learning about him. So that's part of what we're doing now. We're learning about God. Amen?
Amen.
All right, now let's see. The enemy of our faith is fear. So I wanted to give you an example. Is there an empty cup over there that someone... just assume this is your heart empty. I just want to make the example. If you fill your heart with faith, there's no room for fear. Conversely, if you fill your heart with fear, there's no room for faith. They both cannot stay in the same space. And there are lots of people who say, oh, I'm living by faith. And God is going to heal me one of these days. Well, there's some fear. Some people say, I'm living by faith, but I really don't deserve God's love or God's healing or God's prosperity. So really their heart or their cup is filled with fear, and they just think it's faith. So I want to make sure we're clear. You can't have faith and fear in the same spot. Amen. Okay, we'll just set that there and refer to it a little bit later. Maybe it will fill up with faith. Amen. Okay, now fear comes from the devil. This is a revelation I want you to get. It's not something you know up here, but you know. Every time fear comes, it is a plot of the devil. Fear is from the devil. You might say, well, some fear is good. You know, kind of keeps you in line. I've heard people say, I'm afraid of breaking the law because I don't want to go to jail. And so that keeps me in line. No, that's not what we're talking about. Fear is not good for you. Fear is of the devil. You should keep the law because God said to, not because you're afraid. Good. All right, moving on. John chapter 10, verse 10. Elizabeth, when you get that, would you read that to us, please?
Sure.
John 10, 10.
The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. Sorry, there's so many different versions. The New King James says, the thief does not come except to kill, steal, and destroy.
I like that one that you just read. The thief does not come except. In other words, this is a revelation, isn't it? Mm-hmm. In other words, the only reason the devil comes, this is his one goal, is to steal from you, kill you, destroy you. Steal from your children, kill your children, destroy your children. Steal from your church, kill your church, destroy your church, your government, your job, your any certain thing.
Wow.
That is his only goal.
And he will use a circumstance as very temporary to try to get you to lock in your faith into that small passing picture.
It's like Jacob and Esau in the birthright. He was so hard, so hungry, so thirsty. Just give up his birthright just for that. Could have waited until later.
That's still, yeah.
And he would have still eaten.
That's good.
Let's assume that he was really at the point of death that he thought he was. God still, if he had trusted God, God would have sustained him until he could get, without cheating and stealing and giving away stuff, till he could get food in the correct way.
He couldn't help it, this is the person he was.
He was a swindler.
Yet, he go back to where he before then, where he was still destroyed.
But you know, being in fear makes us swindlers.
Because it makes us think we have to provide for ourselves instead of trusting God to do it.
That's a very good point.
Thinking we're going to go without.
We're going to be participating in the devil's will.
I wanted to go there because there's a deception that says if I can take care of it, I don't need God. So if you don't need God, then you need the devil. I mean, that's pretty blunt. But there are only two choices. Then there's a great deception that says there's God, there's the devil, and then there's a middle ground, a me.
Right.
I can choose God, I can choose the devil. They don't know the devil because of the curse, because of Adam and Eve's sin. The default is the devil, if with the devil. I want to move on to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. And when Meredith gets it, she'll read it to us. Just the first part of the verse, really.
Is it Hebrews 12, 2?
Yes. You're amazing. They're faster than I can turn my fingers.
These phones, I tell you.
They make it so user-friendly.
Go ahead.
Looking away, I'm reading from the Amplified. Looking away from all that will distract us and focusing our eyes on Jesus, who is the author and perfecter.
That's the point. Read a different translation, someone.
Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith.
Stop. So I'm telling you that the way to stay in faith is to continually look or focus on Jesus. Look unto Jesus. Don't be distracted, like the Amplified says. Don't be distracted. Look at Jesus. So here's the devil. He's got fear. He's bringing fear. And he makes his fear loud and bright and big so that we are distracted from looking at Jesus. And we start looking at him. Because if you're looking at the problem, you're looking at the author of the problem.
Oh, you'll go through your emotions.
And that's so true. That is so true. This is so true. Excuse me. So, on our piece of paper, we went through 2 Corinthians 5:7. We walked by faith. The enemy of faith is fear. We had our example. Fear is from the devil. John 10. The devil's only goal is to steal, kill, and destroy. The way to stay in faith is to continually look or focus. Focus on Jesus. Look at Jesus. The devil wants to distract you and get you to look at the problems and temptations. In other words, get you to look at him. Now, if we're looking at the devil, what are we finding? More trouble.
Death.
Which ends in death.
Destroyed.
Exactly.
But you know, Peter did that on the boat. Here he was, living, walking by faith, walking on the water.
It says he saw the wind. He saw the wind.
Yeah.
That's what distraction. How can you see wind? Because he saw the effects.
One big storm.
He saw the effects of the wind.
You'll
see wind. In the boat, it was storming. And out of the boat, it was storming. And he started to sink. And it doesn't say Jesus ran over there. It just says Jesus reached. So he was within arm's length of Jesus when he took his eyes off of Jesus. Amen. Good point. Thank you. So the devil wants to distract you and get you to look at the problems and temptations. In other words, get you to look at him. He's the author of trouble, the author of temptations. Amen. And remember our glass. You're looking at the wind and the wave. You're not focused on faith. If your heart is full of fear of the storm, fear of temptation, fear of failing, fear of death, no faith. Amen. So how do you keep this filled with faith? Go ahead and answer.
Keep your eyes on Jesus.
There you are. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Good job. So fear is faith contaminated. Now I heard Gloria Copeland say that, and I think she's quoting Kenneth Hagin. Faith is fear contaminated. I mean, fear is faith contaminated. You can have faith in the devil's ability to hurt you. We don't want that to happen. There are many kinds of fear. And as I meditated on this today, the Lord said, there's a fear that comes up if you think about the past. If you think about something in the past that made you afraid, it can make you afraid again. That's very sneaky. In the past, I had a car accident. So every time I come to that same corner and I remember that car accident, I'm afraid again. You understand what I'm saying? What a sneaky fear that is. We have to put that down and say, no, by faith, that's over, that's past, or whatever thing is true in your life. I remember, you know, my family died in an airplane accident. Well, a few years after that. a friend of ours had a little airplane, and he was going to give me a ride, me and Juliana, to Wichita Falls. And so I had a choice. Was I going to be afraid to fly in a little plane, knowing the past? Or was I going to shake that off, look at Jesus, and go forward? And I did. I got in the airplane. Everything was good. In Jesus' name, we're flying. And I wanted to be a little bit afraid. It started to come upon me. I don't mean I wanted to, but it started to come on me. I think I've told you this story before. We weren't flying very high. The cars on the street looked like they were like Hot Wheels size. So that's how high in the air we were. And you could see the building. And we were following Interstate 35 up toward Wichita Falls. And I looked down. We were right over Temple, Texas, I remember very clearly. And I looked down, and I could see the shadow of our airplane as we were flying. It's like, and I thought of those scriptures about the shadow of his wings, and oh, this is comforting, this is good, this builds my faith so I can kick the fear out. And as I continued to look down, there was a rainbow, a complete circle rainbow, around this is from my visual perspective, the rainbow was around the shadow of the airplane. So as the airplane shadow was moving, the rainbow was moving too. I said, knowing all about something, I know something about covenant. I know something about God's faithfulness. I know something about God, and there's a sign of the covenant around this airplane. There was no reason, no space for fear.
Thank you.
Because I was filled up with faith by knowing God.
You are so sweet.
Wasn't that so wonderful? Thank you, Jesus. Well, I've listed a few. To be afraid for others, such a temptation as a parent to be afraid for your child. You don't do this, and don't do that. And my mother, oh my goodness. Don't get wet because you'll catch a cold. You know, this is what she believed. Don't run out the street, you'll get run over. And then that's a possibility, okay? To do something dangerous and have an effect of it, that's a possibility.
Wise.
but you don't have to have fear about it, you know? As children grow older, you think, I don't want them to run with the wrong crowd or other fears that you can have about children. Or about your spouse. I hope he doesn't have an accident coming home. Car accident. You know, there are all kinds of fears for others. I think I told you about my sister-in-law Helen. When her children grew up and they would call home, she'd say, "What's wrong?" Not hello. Not how are you. She assumed. She was so afraid for him.
Amen.
Another, this fear for others leads to control. Have you known people that you would call a control freak or max control? I mean, they wanted to tell you what to do every moment of the day. What was the motive of that? Do they just think they're better than you? No, they're afraid for you. And so they're trying to keep you from a dangerous situation every minute. This, what does that matter? But they have some belief, some fear inside of them that if you don't hold your fork correctly, people will judge you. People judge you, they cast you out. People cast you out, you can't have friends, you can't have a job, you can't make money, you'll die.
He'll die. Well, it proves out that it's any fear is a fear of death.
That's it.
That's the real thing.
That's that root. That's that root. Okay.
That's true.
So we do have spiritual authority. We can pray, you know, if I see a potential danger for someone. It's not my job to follow them around and lead them and tell them what to do. But it is, I do have the privilege to pray with my spiritual authority that they don't fall into any traps of the devil. Amen. That they're kept in that covenant, inside that rainbow. Amen. Praise God. And we speak, we pray, we speak in faith with the authority that God gave to Jesus, who gave to us. Now, I made some lines here. If you want to, you can fill in the blanks of some fears that you're acquainted with, maybe not personally, but you know of some fear. When I was a little girl, I was afraid of food. What does that mean? If I had not eaten it before, I was not going to try it. And so I had eaten beets, crackers, and tuna. And I lived on tuna, bread, and mayonnaise. I got that far. And then later I moved to Fritos. And I lived on that for 12 years while I went to school. Why? I was afraid of food. I was afraid of the taste in my mouth. That's pretty big neurosis. Sometimes we're just afraid that nobody will like us. Or afraid that we can't make a living. I think this is big in men, you know, they want to be able to support their families, and they've got scriptures about it. They're afraid they'll fail. What happens if you fail?
You can start over again.
Yeah. The end is
like death.
Yeah.
Oh, you'll die if you fail.
And so that's why these fears get so big. I'm going to die. Well, as a Christian believer, we can easily crush that by saying, death to me is a step into heaven. I'm not afraid of dying. There are some people that are so much in control, they're afraid to die because they're afraid their loved ones who don't die will get in trouble without them here. You see all these fears. I don't know if you want to write anything down, but if you can, would you like to express any fears that you've heard of or seen? Some people are afraid to drive. I know teenagers, it shocked me. I met these teenagers and my goodness, I couldn't wait to get out of the wheel. So that was not my fear. Perhaps it was my parents' fear. They were afraid to learn to drive.
Fear of rejection.
Fear of rejection. Yeah. Big, big, big. Flashing lights.
It's been a fear of disappointing someone or fear of...
Or being disappointed.
Right.
You know, if your expectations get so high. I tell you, you remember me when you and I first met, I had this big thing about my birthday. My birthday is 4 days before Christmas. And it had not been a very good experience in my mind every year. And so I feel like a thorn inside of me. If you get close to touching that birthday, I jerk back because I was afraid I would be disappointed. And I was. Until finally, one glorious birthday, I was totally delivered from this fear, and now I have great birthdays. And I don't, it was a thing like, I'm afraid people won't remember my birthday. And in 1 year, no one did. No one, my mother, forgot my birthday. My husband, my children, nobody remembered, or at least didn't speak to me, about my birthday. But that experience caused me to go to Jesus, and I got totally free. So, fear of disappointment, of being disappointed. Anything else y'all want to think about? Fear you want to share?
Fear of intimacy.
That's a biggie. Fear of intimacy. And that goes along with rejection. I'm afraid if I open myself up, I'll be hurt. And there is such a thing as fear of pain, physical and mental and emotional.
Yeah.
Fear of pain.
I was going to say fear of forgetting to do something. Like just something has to happen during your day. Just fear of forgetting to, you know, check something.
Like making a mistake.
Yeah.
Yes. That's why we have lists.
Yes. Yes.
I put it on the list.
There you are. Oh, my God.
You're going to die now. Prepare the funeral. Now.
My grandmother in my father's side, she was very all the time praying. And one day I said, I'm afraid. Afraid. You don't use that word, afraid. You pray to God. You said, God, help me. And then in Spanish, Cruz que se vaya el diablo y venga Jesús. That was our saying. And
can I translate that to them? Cross, cross.
Uh-huh. Cross, cross.
May Jesus come.
And devil go away.
Devil go away.
I just come in Jesus' name.
Amen.
For everything, and she prayed every time she came out of her house to the yard, she would make the sign of the cross. And anybody leaving, she will make their time to the cross. God be with you.
Yes.
That was all the time. My father would be mad at some of us, you know, like me, you know, always wanted to know everything.
Niña,
¿por qué preguntas tanto? I want to know, Daddy. Give me patience, girl. This one is going to take me to my early grave.
At least you knew who
and
you
I said, no, Daddy, no, make a sign of the cross. Devil, go away, get Jesus.
But isn't that what we're teaching? Yeah. Run to Jesus yes. and tell the devil to yes. get away.
Yes.
Exactly right.
Acknowledge him. All the time, you know, even at work, when I worked, there was the warehouseman was very, very shy and very ignorant, you know. To tell you the truth, how ignorant is it? My wife is going to call the police on me. Why, Tomas? Because I write down that I'm single at the end of the year. I put down I have a family, and she's going to send me to jail.
Don't. On the egg of that.
And that's the thing of that return. Pray to God that you get something back. And I would tell him that, you know. And he would try to do that, you know. For everything I would say, Jesus help me, you know. But when I got an order, and maybe I ordered too much, you know. And he would say the opposite. I said, don't, Tomas, you'll never get out of the mud, you'll still be down there. Anytime, you know, he would come to me and say, what do you say? Because you're just like my mother and my father, you know, but I live with my wife. I do what my wife said. Oh, God, help that child.
Oh, and he does, so then he helps. Praise God. Well, let's finish up. I typed up the Amplified of Hebrews 2, 8, and 9. This is the Amplified Classic. And I thought this was so appropriate. As we're dealing with faith and fear, we've got to know where the line is. Where's the line that we have responsibility, or that God has responsibility, or that we can use authority? And it says it pretty clear. For you, God, have put everything. How much?
Everything.
Uh-huh. Todos. In subjection under his, that would be Jesus' feet. Now, in putting everything in subjection to man, he, Jesus, left nothing outside of man's control. Jesus gave everything to man. I'm talking about any man who believes in Jesus. And so man has control, according to the translator, or he has the right to administer everything. Now read the last part. But at present, we do not yet see all things subjected to him. In other words, I'm unsure sometimes what I can use my spiritual authority on. And what do we need then? We need revelation. We need information from God. We need to know what is God's will in this situation. But even if we don't know, verse 9, but we are able to see Jesus. So I have not memorized the Bible. I do not know every word, every phrase, every command, every promise in the Bible. Yet, I do see Jesus because I walk by sight of the world. No, sight of faith. Amen. I walk by faith. I live by faith. So I don't know. I have a friend and her every sentence is, I don't know. I've rebuked her several times.
I know.
But I'm saying we don't have to say that. Yes, we don't know right now, but we do see Jesus. And he knows. It's just like a husband, just like a lover, just like a friend. It's so wonderful because I may not know everything I have authority over. I may not know how to exercise authority over this fear thing, especially things that are sudden fears. You know, when somebody cuts in front of you, you got to slam on your brakes, and you forgot to notice if anyone was behind you or not. and you know, sudden things. And fear wants to rise, but again, you just have to practice staying in faith. Practice saying, believing, God is taking care of me. The devil is rebuked and God is here, right? And, or whatever the translation is of what she said. So we practice that when non-emergency situations, and then when emergency situations come up, then we're already practiced to know that I can see Jesus. I don't know exactly what to do here. There's a wreck, there's a flat tire, there's a death in the family, there's an emergency. And see, this is what terrorists play off of, is fear. They try to bring fear and terror into their enemy. So we have terrorists from other countries, and what are they doing? They're saying, we hate America, we hate Americans, you're infidels, you don't know our God, and therefore we're gonna kill you, we're gonna destroy you, we're gonna behead you, we're gonna make your life terrible, your way of life. That's what's pouring out of them, is all this hatred and fear. But we say no. We have just as much power to say no over a terrorist than we do over an accident, that we do over a sickness, that we do over a disease, that we do over a poverty, a late bill. It's the same power of God will stop the enemy. And all these people that say, oh, the United States is going down. God's mad at the United States. God's not going to protect the United States. Stop! He's going to protect me. And I live here.
So by extension, he's going to protect a lot of others.
That's right.
That's right.
He keeps it going.
He does.
Yeah. He does.
But you know what? Like he was pointing out that beholding the Lord, we're transformed.
Yes.
And so the Lord will cleanse that fear out of you. You don't have to do the trying to not be scared. The Word will push it out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The Word will cleanse it right out of you.
Which is always better than trying to control it yourself.
Exactly. Yes. You don't have to try to control, carry that burden.
Because so many people try to just manage fear.
Yeah.
Try to just not be afraid of the big things, and you know, oh, if I'm afraid of these little things over here, it's okay. That's not really that, you know, detrimental. Yeah.
Or I can handle this, and I'll give the big things to God because you know this is within my.
But it's in their conversation. Oh, I'm afraid that meat is spoiled. You don't have to be afraid. Either it is or it isn't. If it is, throw it away. It's not cooking. Right. You don't have to, you know, that's become a cliche, a slang word, a slang phrase. I'm afraid of, oh, I'm afraid you're going to get sick. I'm afraid the weather's going to turn bad. Remove that, which I know y'all already have, but I'm speaking generally. Remove that from your conversation. There's nothing for you to be afraid of. Nothing. Height, depth. Where is that? Romans chapter 8. Yes, that's a good one too. 1 Corinthians chapter 8. I mean, Romans chapter 8 says, I'm persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created things shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So I don't have to be afraid of anything.
Amen.
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 I don't have to be afraid of making a mistake because the God who loves me will rush in and change things so that it's okay. So that it's okay.
I have a from yesterday. I was telling them this afternoon. Yesterday, I had gone out to the mailbox, you know, just to grab the mail, and was coming back in. And I remember I was so focused on trying not to get grass on my newly cleaned floor on the entryway. So I'm really like rubbing my shoes off on the mat, and I'm trying to walk in the house carefully and take my shoes off and all that. And I apparently forgot to lock the front door. And so I got in, and a few minutes later, I'm sitting down, but I'm still inside of the front door. And I see Joseph walking to the front door. I'm like, what is going on? He pushes the door to, locks it, and walks away. I was like, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Joseph. it's, you know, God's mercy just rushed in and got the door locked.
Amen.
You know, it's like, because Joseph, it could have opened the door, walked out of it, but he shut the door and locked it.
protecting our families.
And those are things it proves to you, I don't have to be afraid of him running out or getting in a bad situation. God is so protecting him and her and all of our children. He's so protecting them that they can't miss. They can't do wrong. They can't get in trouble.
He said he doesn't miss.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. The word never fails.
Read us our Philippians chapter 2, verse 13, please.
Yes.
We'll end with this one.
Philippians chapter 2. For it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. That's the NIV.
Amplified is really good too.
Oh yeah. I've read it in the Amplified.
Read that for us.
It says, for it is not your strength, but it is God who is effectively at work in you,
yeah,
to will and to work. That is strengthening, energizing, and creating,
yeah,
in you the longing and the ability to fulfill your purpose for his good pleasure.
And you could go back and say, just read me the first few words, please.
For it is not your strength, but it is God.
Yeah. It is not your strength, but it is God.
Who is effectively at work in you.
Who is effectively at work in your children.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Who is effectively at work in your job. Who is effectively at work in everything you do.
Yes, yes.
And then the rest of the verse.
Yes.
To take care of you. It's God doing the work to take care of you. And so, you know, my children died, and when I had new children, I thought, I'm going to protect them. I'm going to take care of them. I'm going to in any situation where they could die.
Foolish.
You're such a hopeless
job. But you know what? To not be so hard on yourself, it could be an ignorance. You know, it's either
there's
unbelief.
Okay,
it's an unbelief.
I was so afraid something would happen to me. But
you just didn't believe that scripture.
I knew God would take care of me, but I didn't know he'd take care of anyone else.
It didn't extend.
I didn't know the extension that we've just talked about. And now I do.
Praise God.
I would say just to make a point. I'm not trying to criticize anybody. Do you see how ridiculous it is to think you could protect yourself all the ways you could get killed in one day? Airplanes,
yeah,
buses, planes, cars, guns. You mean the old house?
Yeah.
A rock falls, God, crush it out.
Yeah.
Earthquake, the road, blood, yeah, a fall.
It's happened.
I've read it. Ghastly.
Yeah.
Something you, in your own mind, in your own knowledge, couldn't expect. Couldn't prepare for.
And you know what's so funny about that? And some people are paralyzed in this fear, and they will stay, well, this is the safest place. I'm just going to stay in my room. And I read about a guy that was in bed, and a sinkhole opened up. And you're thinking, okay, I will
you
be safe in here in my bed.
Well, and then extend that to how foolish I was to think I could protect my children. Being with them did not mean they were protected. But it took me some time to get there, and then it took me more time to think, oh, you're kind of saying God's not good enough, aren't you?
It's all about his feet. The brain moves a little, you know.
Oh, Mary, that's funny.
I'm getting there.
It's not only me, somebody else.
Different perspective.
Well, let's pray together. Unless something else you'd like to say.
I'm going to protect you. You need to realize that only God can know everything.
Yeah.
So it's best to put a hedge around you in your family. I mean, anyway.
Well, Well, I was still thinking that when I met John, and I'm sure he spent a lot of time thinking, woman, she's not going to make it.
No.
Well, see, in that case, you like you pointed out way back in the front of the message, I see a problem in somebody else, so I get in the fear of trying to fix the problem. now I'm going to both in it. So the head, period.
Like jumping in to save somebody drowning, and you go right there with them.
Or.
And they pull you down with them.
Yes, makes sense.
So you go back up and.
And throw the lifeboat.
A head. That's all you use to put a head around me.
Yeah. Yes. But the point being is the more you're beholding the Lord, acknowledging Him, feeding on His promises, and learning about the covenant.
Yes. Yes, and that's why I know all of you can hear us and do this. We say, read the Word, study the Word. So more revelation can come.
More cleansing.
And more cleansing and renewal. Bless.
Yes. I pray a lot to myself.
Less lying to myself.
I pray that somebody talks to me, I might repeat what I was reading in my mind, you know. And my father said, you're always somewhere else, you know. No, I'm with God, Daddy.
That's right.
And he was afraid when I used to say, I'm with God, meaning I'm praying, you know. Because my grandmother, for everything, she carried a rosary. And she was, if I would talk to her, you disturb me. I was praying. Now I forgot where I was. I said, well, pray from the beginning until you get to do everything. I used to go to sleep with a rosary. And then I fall asleep. I wake up in the morning still. I can't remember where I was, but I'm going to have to start with
from the beginning.
From the beginning.
Well, he doesn't forget. He honors our prayers.
And I talk a lot to him. Please help me.
Yes.
And not tell me sometimes, you forgot about me. You know, I asked to please. George had a brand new car, and I get to use it. And there was a picnic from church, and I had already bought the ticket for the meal. And I went there, and I didn't notice that they had cut a tree and there was a stump. And when we came back, I got in the seat. And then when I back out, I go,
his brand new car.
I hit where you open the door, you know, not the door, on the hinge. Brand new white car with the word Roadrunner. And he had borrowed my car. He called it the love boat. It was a big But he said he wanted to use it because he was going to play with the school, you know, competition. And he could carry more than one instrument. I said, oh my God, he's going to take more friends. So he's got to do the steering wheel for him. And he called me, said, Mom, everything is okay? And I said, yes, Mom, what happened? Just by the way I answered, you know. And what happened? I hit your car. I said, how about you and Dad? I said, no, we're okay. Mom, car is something materially can be repaired. Mm-hmm. It's you and Dad that I worry.
Thank you.
But you don't know what happened to the car. That's okay. When I get home, we live in the corner house and the garage. It had the office for the owner of the house, and I put the car there. He says, I want to see the car. I said, not now, George. I want to see the car, Mom. It's not in the garage. Bacon took me to the repairman that he, Bacon is a friend of everybody, you know. And they call him Bacon because they always hate me. I forgot his name.
His name was Raymond Ford.
And he saw me crying. Why are you crying? He called me Miss Martinez. And the teacher that was always after them, and she was Martinez, Everybody called him Miss Ramirez. He got us confused. Miss Martinez, whatever. Where's George's new car? In the garage. And you cried?
I did it.
Open the garage. Let me see it. I said, oh, I got a friend. You know, I have a friend that can fix that in no time at all.
But it's brand new. We could.
Let's go right now. So we went. And the guy said, oh, you're in love because I just got this color white for this car. I won't, you know, I won't fix, I'll pull it out of the dent. It's not that bad, you know. But I'm afraid of the warding, you know, we won't have low runner in the door. That's okay. And he said, aren't you going to ask me how much it is? I said, I don't care. I'm going to fix it. So he said, I'll have it ready by 7 o'clock in the morning. I'll work on it tonight. So Raymond said, here we're walking back. See, you don't have to cry. I said, well, I told God, I'm not going to abuse his car no more. I promise you.
Just get me out of it.
You know what? He said, Mom, you don't know anything about car repair. They're going to put something in there to make it even. I said, no, he said he was going to pull it out. Okay. How much is he charging you?
I don't know.
Mom! I said, no, I don't know. But he said it wouldn't be too much. And what did you tell? Nothing is too much for my
friend.
So, let's go, Mom. It was 7 o'clock. We got there, and that guy was waiting. I told you, Eddie, that I would have it ready. So he brought it out of the garage, and George went around looking. I don't see anything wrong. Keep on looking, Mr. Ramirez. And he kept going around. He said, there's one thing that you haven't noticed. The wording Roadrunner, it's no longer there. No, because it was damaged. That's how good I put my my hands to work, and especially the new car, ma'am. I said, I know it's a new car. And I whispered, $1 million.
No,
$100.
Oh, praise God.
Okay.
Praise God.
And George said, the wording, oh, that's okay, you know, I just got the car, you know, I'll go to the Dutch and get it. So I said, okay, Mom, let's go to the Dutch. I said, and you're going to let me drive? Yes. You have to use. Don't fear at all, you know. Just keep on going. So, he said, Mom, I think you're going too fast.
Oh, no.
And when we got there, you know, he said, no problem. $25 is the wording.
Oh,
wow. And we'll put it for you. Okay. So we'll give you a call when it was ready. Well, that year they didn't do no more Roadrunners, and they couldn't find the cars anymore. So he sold the car.
Well, let's pray, and then we'll be dismissed. Father, we thank you so much that you give us faith. You do not give us fear, and that your word cleanses us from all unrighteousness, and that includes fear. So thank you for letting us put the word fear. Satan, we serve you notice. You're not allowed. We rebuke you. We rebuke all of your works from our lives and our family, our church. You are rebuked, you're unclean, you're not allowed to come near. Father, we thank you that we don't have to enforce this, but that the blood of Jesus and the power of God and the name of Jesus enforce your will in the earth. Thank you, Lord, for protecting us and caring for us in every way. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you all so much. So no Roadrunner.
We're getting another room down there. God, if it ain't now, he's got
it. He says now, he still had it.